Elder, always good. Thank you. And two, Tiffany, congratulations, Dr. Dr. Tiffany Felder. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we can celebrate that. What an accomplishment. We honor you. That's so amazing. That's so amazing. We appreciate you, your family. You're such a blessing to this church. Thank you. Just real quick before we continue, Miss Susan Bless purchased these for the ladies, and so we are going to hand these out as you're leaving today, but it is a little heart. It's a bookmark. See that? Cool. Thanks, Miss Susan. That's awesome. So all the ladies, that's something just to bless you from Miss Susan and from our church. So thank you so much. That's awesome. Miss Susan thinks of everything. She does. You can clap for her. I would do that. And before we get rolling with the message this morning, we're just going to take a moment just to intercede. If you don't know what's going on, and it'll be about 11:30 our time. I think that's right. Yeah, I think it starts at 12:30 Eastern. But today, there is a rededication of our nation to God, which is awesome. Yeah. Our president is doing that. And, you know, has anybody ever said the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay, yeah. It says one nation under God. Amen. And how many of you know that any problem, any situation, it can be solved by God? Amen. And that is true. 100%. Any situation, any problem that we may have at a scale to just ourselves and our own lives, but also to the scale of national security, everything can be solved by the word of the Holy Spirit and by the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I love that our president is taking time to do that. And as Christians, this is a big deal. If you don't think it's a big deal, I'm telling you, it's a big deal, okay? Because it's instituting something that our nation was founded on that created success from the beginning for our nation. And so as Christians, it's important for us not to be quiet, but to continue to stand for truth. And this is an opportunity where it's paving a way for us to do that, amen? And so would you do this with me? If you're comfortable with it, would you just stand and join me? We're going to pray and intercede for what God's going to do with us today. And we're going to believe for breakthrough. How many of you know that today, as this is happening, there might be a lot of feelings about this, okay? But feelings, all right, will deceive. Truth matters, okay? And so let's just declare that truth supersedes all feelings and emotions, that the Holy Spirit would pierce the hearts of the American people, Christians and non-Christians alike, amen? That we would truly understand what the power of Jesus Christ running this nation, what that really looks like. And you may feel like or say there's no way that could ever happen. I would say that there is, all right? Because we serve a powerful God, okay? And so let's just intercede. Would you join with me today? Lord, we just lift up your voice today. Lord, we just thank you so much for our nation. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have. We recognize that the freedom that we have, it was not for free. That it was fought for, that it was paid for by a price. Ultimately, that price by your son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that our nation, as it's being rededicated under your name today, that it would be more than just something symbolic, that it would be more than just lip service today. Lord, I just ask, Lord, today that there would be a resurgence, Father, of Christians in this nation, recognizing their duty as Christians to speak the truth, to be carriers of the truth, to bring people to your light. And we thank you, God, that there is no situation, there is no problem, there is no national security threat that cannot be answered simply by your power, your name. And we thank you, God, for our president. We thank you for the administration. We thank you for our congressmen and women, our senators, our legislators. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this is a move, Father, that this starts even a new move of reformation that sweeps our nation. We recognize and understand that your Holy Spirit, when you move in the hearts of people, it cannot be stopped. We thank you, God, that when you move on hearts, Lord, that you begin to open up doors that no person can open, Lord. And so we thank you, God, for the breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. We agree today. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen, amen. Say hi to somebody as you grab a seat. Yes, say hi, say hi. If you're with us online, thank you so much for joining with us today. We are excited that you're here with us and joining with us. I would encourage you to, you might not get out in time to be able to watch that dedication, but watch it. Be a part of that. And if you say, well, I don't know if it's that important, it's so important. All right, so I'm going to find some time. I mean, we're going to get done with service. We're going to kind of jump in. Cherry and I and Rosie are going to jump into kind of getting things ready for family night tonight, which we're excited for. So it might not be till tomorrow or tonight that I watch it, but I'm going to make it a priority. Amen? So I would encourage you to do that. How many of you are excited about family night tonight? I love family night. Family nights are so fun. Starts at 5 p.m. We'll burn some hot dogs for you weirdos, okay? This is like an ongoing joke, all right? So for those of you that haven't experienced a family night, some people like their hot dogs. Who likes their hot dogs burned? Oh, you guys are in good company. Welcome to the party, all right? Oh, man. Well, I think that, wait, who likes burnt hot dogs? Raise your hand. All right, cool. You're still the minority. All right, you weirdos. Just kidding. So I'll burn some hot dogs for you, all right? But I'm going to not burn some hot dogs as well. But, you know, the same rule always applies. If, you know, bring some meat to grill, bring a side to share. If you don't have the ability to be able to do that, don't worry about it. There's always plenty of food. We'll have s'mores. I also got bucket golf, all right? If you don't know what it is, it'll be fun, all right? But I've got bucket golf. That is our new yard game for the year. We'll do some yard games. We'll have board games. And, of course, we will be spitting seeds for money, all right? I think Corbin was the last one that won. I think you're the reigning champion currently, all right? Probably, he said probably. There was like a head tilt. He said probably, all right? So $50 on the line, all right? If you're like, I will never spit a seed, you might for $50, all right? Yeah. Someone's like, wait, we take it seriously. And then there will be an egg toss, and our eggs are indestructible for some reason. The last time we did an egg toss, I think who won? Oh, okay. I guess it wasn't that magical. All right. But the egg toss always ends up going like 30 yards, and our eggs will not break. It's amazing. But then when it does explode, it's that much better. You know if an egg explodes in your face at 30 yards? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I never participate, so I just get to watch the carnage. It's great. But it's going to be really fun. Just come and join us and be a part of that fellowship with us, and it'll be a good time. Today, the Holy Spirit has put on my heart over and over again in the last couple of weeks this theme and understanding of identity. Because I think identity is one of the pivotal parts of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because in the world, identity is so many different things, but as a Christian, our identity lies in one, and that's Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in church. I grew up with incredible parents that loved Jesus. They were spirit-filled. They taught me the Word of God. I remember 6 years old, my mom leading me to Jesus in the sinner's prayer before I went to bed. I said, Mom, I want to make that decision today. And she led me in the sinner's prayer. It was a beautiful moment, and I knew what I was doing. I remember at 11 years old being filled with the Holy Spirit in a church service, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me like never before, a realization of who God was. But even so, growing up, there were moments in my life that I was faced with identity issues, right? These moments where I was like, who am I? What's my purpose? It's easy your identity to get wrapped up into the wrong thing, right? You get wrapped up in your appearance, you know, the things that you wear, the car you drive. How many of you remember when you were like 16 and your car was like your identity? You know what I'm talking about? I did weird stuff to my car. I don't know about you, but like Fast and Furious came out with when I was in high school. And so I remember like fog lights, and I put a green light bulb in my fog lights. Like, that's weird. Like, that's so weird. And like I had a 1991 Honda Accord, two-door. And man, I was like, this is probably the coolest car in the world, you know? I bought it with my own money. I kind of started working when I was 10 years old. My dad owned his own construction company, so I got to go work, for like a dollar an hour, you know? But then I got a job when I was 14 working telemarketing. Thrilling stuff. And so when I bought that car, it was like everything, and it was like my identity, right? I'd pull up, and if somebody had a cooler car, my identity felt threatened. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, no, you weirdo. You know, if I liked a girl, I had to have a cooler car than the other guy. Have you ever seen a 1991 Honda Accord, two-door? It's not that cool, all right? It's not that cool. And I remember I have historically in my life struggled with those moments. I've struggled with self-doubt, with self-confidence. And I struggled with all of those things. I think a lot of us go through life with different moments like that. And for our identity can be found in so many of the wrong things. It can be found in the people that we associate with. You identify with the people that you associate. You identify, sometimes your identity falls in your spouse completely. And it can fall in all kinds of different, it could be in your political party. It could be your personal beliefs. Here's one today that we find all the time that we battle is my truth, right? Have you ever heard about that? Have you ever seen that? It's the game that has been played since the dawn of time, all right? Repackaged and packaged again and repackaged. But now there's this thing going around in culture that if it's my truth, you got to respect it. You know, I believe it's true. And so it's true. And if you believe something else is true, that's cool. It's true too. Let me give you an example. Tony, do you believe in gravity? Cool, man. Well, I respect that. All right? But I do not. Why'd you laugh? You guys disrespecting my truth? You know, if I took a ladder right now, because I believe that my truth is that gravity is not real, I took my ladder outside this door, I leaned it up against this building, and I walked up to that roof and jumped off, guess what's true? Gravity. Right? Gravity would be true. And this is something that we deal with now, especially something that will always be a threat to the truth of God. And again, it's been packaged and repackaged and regurgitated and then repackaged again throughout the dawn of time. The idea that we can create a truth, we can find, we're smart people, all right? God did not make junk when he made us. We're smart. He gave us a mind to think. And if we want to, we can always find an exception to something if we want to. Have you ever found that? Have you ever done that? All right. I'll raise both of my hands. If I had seven hands, I would raise them all. I've always found a way to make an exception for my sin if I wanted to. And that's hard, right? But the reality is this, if I believe right now, if I believed that gravity wasn't real, and I grabbed a ladder and went up on that roof, I would like to think, and I guarantee you, that a lot of you would stop me. Am I correct? You would stop me from jumping off this building? So my question would be this: why is it so different in our culture today as Christians? There are people right now that say, you know what, my truth is this, and it is leading them down a path that is leading straight to hell. And we are unwilling to stand on the truth that we know to be true to help get them off the roof and lead them down a path that will create life and life abundantly. But Christians today many times are scared because of the backlash, because they don't feel like they're educated enough, because they might say something wrong, they might hurt somebody's feelings, they might, and all of those things may be true. But it cannot stop us from still fighting for the truth. You know, when you build a relationship with people, there's something powerful about that, you know? If I just, you know, stood on a street corner and just yelled at people, that's one way to do it, okay? But I personally find that if I build a relationship with people, there isn't anything we can't talk about. Did you hear me today? There's nothing that we can't talk about. There's nothing that we can't disagree with. There's nothing that we can't find some commonality, work together, and eventually that I won't have an opportunity or a chance to be able to share the truth of God with them in their life. And that's where the rubber meets the road, right? Because that's uncomfortable. It takes time. It means I'm going to have to do something I don't want to. But the reality is those are the most fulfilling moments that will happen in my life. I know that. Because when the love of Jesus Christ is not just known, but it's understood on a deep level, it will change people forever. Amen? And so when we talk about identity, I don't think it's so much, it's not wrapped up so much in the things that we see in the world, but it's wrapped up very simply as a Christian of who you belong to. As a Christian, we belong to Jesus Christ. I'm going to prove it to you today in Scripture. But we belong to Jesus Christ. And when we have a deep understanding of whose we are, it will tell you who you are. And how many of you have ever struggled with that? Who am I? Anybody ever asked that question? Who am I? No, just me? You ever had that moment? You know? Like, not just when we're teenagers, right? Like, again, I'll go back, you know, I hop in my Honda Accord, I'm like having a hard day, you know, and I'm driving. You know, it's only so fast you can take a Honda Accord in, but, you know, I'm driving and I get to a field and I just go out and I'm like, who am I? Anybody ever done that before? Yeah, me neither. That'd be weird. Yeah, if anybody ever do that, you probably shouldn't trust them. So, no. But we all struggle with that reality of like, who am I? And we want to know our purpose and our plan. What are we here on this earth for? And I will completely 100% submit to you today that when you have a deep revelation of your identity in Jesus Christ, that is the day you'll begin to walk in that. And I'm going to share my testimony later on of that moment. Because for me, it was one of the most powerful things in my life. Because giving my life to Jesus was incredible. Being filled with the Holy Spirit was incredible. But there was this moment in my life, in my 20s, that the rubber met the road. And I had a decision to make. And it was in that moment that I came face to face with the love of my Heavenly Father. And a revelation of his love for me and my identity in him. And when I talk about revelation, that's like a churchy word, right? Revelation kind of sounds apocalyptic. But revelation is this deep understanding, a reverential understanding I would say even a feeling in the moment that is so, it's such a deep part, it's like the deepest thing inside that says, that's it. You ever had a light bulb moment before? You know, when God brings revelation, it's like the light bulb goes off in your spirit. Because when we talk about a light bulb moment, it's like a light bulb in your head, right? You think of a ding, you know what I'm talking about? But a revelation brings like a light bulb moment inside that you can sense and feel and understanding. And if you're like, man, I've never had that. That sounds cool. Well, you can have it. I believe, I've been praying over this service. I believe that God is going to be doing that all throughout this place today in a deep, powerful way. And so if you want that today, just begin to ask him to do it. You can ask him right now. You don't even have to wait, okay? We didn't come here so that we could hear somebody speak and then leave. We came here to experience Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, his Holy Spirit and what he can do in our lives. We didn't come here to hear somebody speak and be like, cool, I warmed up this seat. It's nice and warm. All right, I'm out of here. All right, job well done. All right, I can get seat warmers, all right? We came here to pursue Jesus Christ today. Amen? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 for just a minute. This scripture is so powerful to me. This is Galatians 5, verse 24. And it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. I love that scripture because it reminds me of, if I belong to Jesus, what I get to do. I get to go to the cross and nail all my wrongdoing. Anybody ever messed up before? Yeah. All right, I've messed up so many times. I still mess up. I'd love to be able to stand up here and be like, I never mess up. But we would all know that's a lie anyway, okay? But I still mess up. But belonging to Jesus Christ means that I get to nail those wrongdoings on the cross, and they stay there. Come on, somebody. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers them. The Bible speaks that your sin in those moments, it's like it was never there to our Heavenly Father. Our head can't even wrap around that. There's no way that we can ever fully wrap our head around that idea. Because if anybody's ever done you wrong, even if you've forgiven them and you've moved on and you've moved on and you've moved on, it's always a little bit there, right? So it's hard for us as human beings to wrap our head around that. But that's what it is, okay? Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let's go to verse 27. We should probably back up just a little bit. Maybe 23. Yeah, let's do 20. John chapter 10, verse 23. He is Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 23. He, which is Jesus, he was in the temple walking through the section known as Solomon's Colonnade. And the people surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus replied, I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name, but you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And to me, this is a really great definition for us as believers of what it means to belong to Jesus. See, you can believe in Jesus, all right, in the fact that Jesus existed, all right? You can even say, well, I believe that there's a God, okay? But then you'll be like all these other people following around Jesus asking, hey, can you just tell me? Like, are you actually like the real deal? Do we not have that in the world today? And Jesus is like, I've told you. I've revealed it. I've even done things, miracles, wonders, signs and wonders. And yet you still don't. But my sheep, they know me. They know me. Because there's a difference between saying, I believe in God, all right, but knowing God. Because when you call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make him the number one thing in your life, you begin a process of getting to know your King and Savior. And it's a beautiful, intimate thing that begins to happen. Because he begins to reveal who he is, his love for you. Most people, when they give their life to Jesus, they think like the next day they're going to like, God's going to be like, I hated you for so many years. And finally, you're kind of like, I can kind of deal with you, you know? And what they find is God's like, I have loved you before you were ever even in your mother's womb. I mean, I have loved you. I have talked about you. I love you. So I have loved you so much. And the fact that now I can spend this time with you, I'm thrilled. And it's that relationship that causes us to now begin to nail the things to the cross, because we recognize that those things are not of him and we want more of him. Amen? Okay, so that was my introduction. So let's continue on. So what does identification look like? Well, a lot of us know what identification looks like. How many of you have a driver's license? Yeah, okay. Driver's license. How many of you have a passport? Maybe fewer of us. How many of you have a birth certificate? But all of you should be raising your hands. I'm slightly concerned. If you're watching online, nobody, like two people raise their hands. So I'm just, but we have these forms of identification. If you pull out your driver's license, on the top of it, what does it say? It'll say like Nebraska, you know, or Iowa, you know. It's okay, you can laugh at that. If they're in Iowa, they're making fun of Nebraska. It's okay. So if you have a passport, what is it? It's a passport. It proves your citizenship to the United States, right? If you have a birth certificate, it'll say where you were born, right? The actual city, the state, the county, the hospital. Okay, it gives you identification, right? And so that's important to recognize. If you belong to Jesus, you hold identification. Okay, so why is that important? Well, it's very important when we talk about spiritual authority. Okay, it's very important because every principality, every demonic stronghold that sets itself, every weapon formed against you, it cannot prosper under Jesus Christ. Okay? If you look it up in the Bible, it does not say Brandon Kerr. Okay? It's specifically under the name of Jesus. And as Brandon Kerr, when I belong to Jesus Christ, it becomes Brandon Kerr. Does everybody hear me today? You might be like, wow, that's your splitting hairs here, Brandon. Yeah, but it's super important, okay? Because a demon does not bow to the name of Brandon Kerr, bows first to the name of Jesus Christ, okay? But when I give my life to Jesus and now I belong to Jesus Christ, that name, Jesus Christ coming out of my mouth, holds power because I know it, I believe it, I live it here. And that's important. So every stronghold, every principality, every weapon formed against me, it will not prosper because of the name of Jesus Christ. We have that authority. Why? Because of our identification as an heir of Christ and a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's just talk for just a minute what that kind of like looks like maybe in today's standards, what that could. I'm going to give you an analogy. I'm going to probably butcher this, so I'm sorry I'm not French, okay? So All right. But in Thailand, if you think that the rest of the world is as free as us, you are wrong, okay? You've been listening to the wrong news, okay? All right. The rest of the world is not as free as us, okay? In fact, every other place in the world has less freedoms than we do here. And if you think that's not true, do some actual research, okay? All right. You need to. Or you need to understand the freedoms that we have. In Thailand, they have this really cool law that's, it's not cool. All right, I was being facetious, okay? And this law is true around a lot of the rest of the world. And again, I might butcher this, but it's lese majeste. I think that was pretty good, all right? I even use, yeah, was that good? Okay, cool, all right, yeah, all right. So those of you that are French students, I apologize, all right? Lese majeste, okay? And what is this law? Okay, that's what really matters. In Thailand, if you say anything against the queen or the king of Thailand, or their government, if you say anything against them, you will be then imprisoned and then go against a court of law, and you will face 3 to 15 years in prison. There's actually a guy right now serving 50 years in prison. Go figure. I guess they stretched the laws because they felt like they were going to have some fun. Interesting. Because he did 30 Facebook posts against the government. America's sounding pretty free right now, huh? And so, in America, I have a constitutional right, First Amendment right, of freedom of speech, right? Everybody know that? Okay, good. Cool. First test passed, all right? So, if the king of Thailand walked in right now, and he would not just walk in, right? Let's just like paint a picture for instance. If the king of Thailand walked through these doors, he would have an entourage, right? Would you agree? Can you imagine what that would look like? You know, multiple limos, you know, like multiple people, mini guns, all right? A lot of threatening looking figures, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Like the king of Thailand does not walk around, you know, with just himself. Agreed? Would you all agree with that? So if he came into there, wouldn't you say that maybe that would look slightly threatening? This is important, okay? So let's say the king of Thailand comes in here because he was just outside and he heard what I said about his government. It's like, how dare he? And he comes in here with his whole entourage and he's like, tries to be like all tough and everything. Hey, you're going to jail, buddy. You know what I would say to him? Being an American citizen on U.S. soil, I would laugh at him. I would laugh at his in his face and say, wrong, all right? I'm an American citizen, all right? You know what that means? Say, well, almost anything I want, all right? I have a First Amendment right, so you can skedaddle on out here. And that would be 100% true. Now, how does that not work? Well, if the king of Thailand came in here and intimidated me, and I allowed him to intimidate me, and I voluntarily got on a plane with him, and I flew back to Thailand with him, the moment that I walk on to Thai soil, guess what? He can throw me into prison. Now, as an American citizen, I would eventually get out, okay? But how many of you know there'd be a lot of red tape and a lot of issues? In fact, there was a guy that had to go through that. It took him 2 years to get back to America. He was in prison, in Thai prison for that, because he said some bad stuff online in America about Thailand as an American citizen, went to travel to Thailand, and they arrested him. And it took over 2 years for him to get him out. But why? The only reason that would be true is if I voluntarily went with the enemy back to his, back to his homeland, all right? Back to where he has authority by participating in the authority that he thinks he has. How simple is it for me, though, as a U.S. citizen to say, no, that's hilarious, and laugh in his face. And the moment he would try to grab me, to take me, to kidnap me, to take me back to Thailand, how many of you know the weight of the United States of America would come down on that man's head? And I would be totally fine. And why do I give you this analogy? I think this is a beautiful analogy of our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Because the devil will always try to push us around. The devil will knock on your door, and he will try to remind you of your past. He will knock on your door and say, hey, do you remember when you did this? He'll even knock on your door and remember what you did, you know, yesterday. Remember what you're doing right now. There's no way out. You're going to have to come with me, man. And how many of us just say, okay. And we hang our head low. And we walk out of the safety of our Heavenly Father. And it is in these moments that we say, man, God's just so far away from me. I just feel like God's so far away from me. And many times we'll blame God in those moments. That God, he just walked out on me. He left. Every example that I can ever think of in these moments, that person, and I'm included in this, walked out on God. We walk out on God. And a lot of it, the majority of it, stems in one very important reality. Our understanding and our revelation in the identity that we have in Jesus Christ. Who you are in him. Because if I know whose I am, the King of Thailand is no threat, right? I'm an American citizen. You're funny. Cute entourage, all right? Your big muscle guys can just walk on out of here, all right? Because there's no threat to me. And the same will be true. The Bible says that the enemy, that the devil, he's walking around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. He's knocking on doors. He's checking in, saying, man, maybe I can take advantage of this person. But when that person just simply says, get out, he's like, okay, sorry. Sorry, guy. My bad. Philippians 3:20 says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Amen. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes, I'm going to fly through these scriptures, but you could write them down. These are great scriptures about defining your identity in Christ. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do things he planned for us long ago. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's important to know those rights, but it's more important to know whose you are, okay? Those rights are important to understand and recognize as a Christian, but before you understand and have a revelation of whose you belong to, it's going to be hard to walk in that. And as Christians, once we understand our identity is in Jesus Christ, there also with that comes a responsibility. There's a responsibility there that then happens. You know, the Great Commission is Matthew 28, and this is Jesus speaking. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, that Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And this is a commission to go, right? to go tell people, to share your testimony. And if you're like, well, what's my testimony? Well, your testimony is very simply, to break it down, it's who you were before Jesus, the moment you met Jesus, and how that has changed your life. And I find that there are many parts of my testimony, okay? There are many different facets, different pieces of my testimony that apply and will help different people at different times. And so I believe that it's really important when you're sharing your testimony to share the victories that you've had, okay? We are all in process, okay? And what do I mean by that? I mean that we are not perfect, okay? There are things that right now, if you are serving God, God is sharpening, as he should be. If we allow God to sharpen us, that means there are things that are in our life that we know could be better, and we're allowing God to bring that in. We're also allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us, all right? Conviction lets us know that, hey, that's wrong. I'm going to fix it. And learning and figuring out how to fix that. And so conviction is a powerful part of our relationship with Jesus Christ as well. And so you might be in process of certain things, okay? When you give your testimony, I believe that it's really important to give the examples of full victory in your life. Does that make sense? Meaning that you once were this, you struggled with this, or this happened in your life, and when you met God, he redeemed you of those things, and now this is what it has produced in my life. And so that's your testimony. And your personal testimony is so powerful. Every one of you have a different testimony than me. Every one of you has seen life differently. You've experienced things differently. So the people that you can reach is different than the people that I can reach. It's very true. I always believe that, I'm a strong believer that everybody should write a book. Because everybody has a different story to tell. A different frame of mind, a different experience. And so the words that they might write might be different than the other people that have written, you know, how many countless books out there. But when it connects with somebody, it can change their life. You know, I can talk to a lot of people and I can connect with a lot of people, but there are certain people that need you right now. Right now. They are outside of these four walls. They have a name. They're living a life. And that life is absent of Jesus Christ. Right now. They haven't experienced what you've experienced. They don't know the love that you have experienced. And they need it. It's a pivotal part of being a citizen of the kingdom of God to help go make citizens of other people. Amen? And again, I'll say this again, but I think it's so important. When you build relationship and enough relationship with people, because I think a lot of us are like, well, I wonder if we disagree about this or disagree about that, or I wonder if they say this, or I say something about this and they get offended. You know, if you build enough relationship with people, those things, they just don't matter. You can start to kind of like, just think about Jesus. Look at the example of Jesus. What did he do? He loved people right where they're at, but loved them way too much to allow them to stay there. You see that time and time and time and time again. It's the power of his love. To the rest of the world, especially the Jewish population, it was absolutely reckless, right? You can't do that. You can't go there. You can't talk to that person. You can't say that. And yet he did. And time again, people's lives were changed. Amen? All right. Well, I'm gonna just share my testimony for just a moment because I think it's important. And a lot of you have heard this, but if you haven't, don't be shocked. I was not perfect, all right? I still am not. But a lot of you know that I struggled with a crippling pornography addiction for many years of my life. And for me, you know, this is my early 20s. For 6 years, I dealt with a crippling pornography addiction. It was before I was on staff at the church, and it was during a short period of time while I was on staff at the church. So some of you are like, whoa, that is, yikes. Yeah, I know. Crazy, right? And that addiction was this one secret part of my life. A few people knew about it after a period of time because I wanted to try to get help and try to conquer that thing. But it was this like one part of my life that I felt like I couldn't shake. And it's crazy to me because I had encountered Jesus in such a powerful way throughout my life. I was still experiencing Jesus in a powerful way in my life. And God was doing things in my life, using me. There was these powerful things. But if you could have like opened up the onion, right, and got to the core of how Brandon really was, my identity was completely shattered because of this addiction, this continual habit that was sinful, that was not of God, that I didn't know how to break, that I desired to break, that I cried over, that I wept over, that I like was frustrated with, angry about, the shame and the guilt and all those things, that was so much a part of who I was. And I just couldn't shake it for years. And I will never forget March of 2011, because that's the moment when everything changed. Because for me, in my life, I had tried to fix it. You ever try to fix something on your own? And I tried everything to fix it. Everything that I could think of without telling a soul. I would try to do this and try to do that. I would, you know, maybe if I do this, this will be. And I would have these moments of success and be like, I'm getting there. And I would even convince myself that I was allowing God to help me. When in reality, I was really just doing it all on my own. Failure after failure after failure after failure after failure after failure to the point now, I am a failure. That's who I am. And I allowed Satan to tell me that's who I was. I was no longer a person that belonged to Jesus. I knew how to walk the walk and say the right things, and I wanted to so bad. I just couldn't. I knew I was a failure. That's who I am. And I'll never forget March of 2011 because I was at a church service, and Pastor Mark was preaching. And there was this moment in that service that just, like, I could not handle it anymore. The shame and the guilt, it was so powerful. I cannot really fully describe to you that pain, but I'm sure all of you in different moments of your life have had those moments. And it brought me to my knees, and I wept. I mean, I wept. I mean, man, these people around me were like, what is wrong with this dude? All right. What is going on? I mean, I was weeping. I was broken. I was on my knees. It brought me to my knees. I was like, done. That shame, that guilt, it was like so all over me. It was out of control. And I will never forget that moment. Where I felt and knew the love of a father. And my heavenly father, I physically felt his arms around me in that moment. I felt his love for me. And any amount of shame or guilt, it could not exist among a perfect love like that. And I don't know about you, but whenever you, if you've ever dealt with any kind of, any shame and guilt, we all have in different ways. But you see, there's no other identity piece than that. And in that moment, I knew there was no way that I could be known for that if my Heavenly Father could love me like that. And it changed me forever. I can't be that shame. And I can't be that guilt. I can't be that addiction if my Heavenly Father can love me like this. I am wrong. I am mistaken to think that who I thought I was is a reality if my Heavenly Father can love me like this. Because I knew my Bible. I knew that the Bible said that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And I knew that there was no way for me to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father with all the shame and the guilt. But in this moment, his forgiveness, his grace, I didn't even say a word, and yet he was there. That is so powerful. Because many times in church, we lead people in a sinner's prayer. And there's power in your words, absolutely. But it's it's in your heart, ultimately, that really matters. And in that moment, I couldn't even speak, and he was there. And I'll never forget that. This understanding, this revelation of whose I was. The love I felt that I knew. And it was in that moment, I just had this vision, if you will, this picture of the robe of Jesus Christ, white as snow. And I begin to see it soak blood up. And it was in that moment I had this revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ in my life. That the very thing that separated me was being taken on by Jesus Christ, the pure, the spotless Lamb. In every way, his blood spilled instantly covered every sin to make a way for my Heavenly Father to love me. And today, that was the moment that everything changed for me. That was the moment that everything changed to me. Now almost 15 years in March, I'll be able to say 15 years in March that I have never looked at pornography since that moment. And I appreciate that. That's awesome. But it wasn't anything that I did. You heard me. For 6 years, I tried really hard to figure it all out. I read books. I tried to be awesome. And there was nothing I could do to do that. It was the power of Jesus Christ. It was the power of a Heavenly Father, his love. In my identity, boom, the light bulb in my gut that I could feel and know, and that changed everything. I stopped trying to fix things, and I let Jesus change me. Did you hear that today? I was trying to fix it, and I stopped trying to fix it, and I let Jesus change me. And the Holy Spirit, he changed me for sure, all right? I remember getting up from that moment, and I knew exactly, the Holy Spirit says, you know what you got to do. I knew exactly what I had to do. I went over to Mark. I was like, you, me, your dad, we got to talk tonight after service. And so I met with Pastor Mark and Pastor Jim in that office, and that was an interesting meeting, okay? Because we're talking to my senior pastor, who's my boss, all right? And then Pastor Mark, who is my, you know, my next in command, and they knew that I struggled, all right, but I wasn't being very accountable with it. I'd be accountable, but you know, there's a lot going on. And I spilled it all, right? I was brutally honest. You know, it was crazy, all right? They didn't say get out. It was a beautiful moment yet again of the example of the love of a father. And what proceeded for the months to follow was uncomfortable at moments, for sure. But it was necessary. And I remember sitting in there and kind of getting a plan together of what the next few days would look like, that this would be the last time. And I knew this was the last time. I knew. See, I had dealt with fear for years, 6 years of my life. I just was afraid that I was going to do it again. So anytime I ever told somebody I wasn't anymore, I felt like it was a complete lie. And so that fear also gripped me as well. And I walked out of that place so free. I was like, it's not going to happen. Like, it was a done deal. And, you know, I remember that they're like, okay, well, what do you look at pornography on? I was like, well, you know, my phone. They're like, okay, well, we got to figure that one out. I was like, yeah, we do. All right. And what about your computer? Like, well, it's not that issue, but it could be. See, now we were getting so honest, all right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit, boom, got a hold of me, all right? I knew whose I was, and I couldn't go back, all right? So now it's like I'm like burning every bridge to go back to that thing, okay? And so I was like, well, the computer stays in the office, done, all right? And they're like, you should probably check in your phone every night. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Probably at like 7 o'clock. And I was like, whoa, okay, like I'm a grown man, all right? And that lasted for about 30 seconds. I say, that's probably a good idea. Actually, yeah, that's a God idea right there, all right? You know, for 3 or 4 months as a grown man, turning in your phone at 7 o'clock at night, it might seem like a difficult thing to do. But after the first night, the first time I handed that phone over, it was the best thing. You know, we so often in our lives, we think about the logistics of what it will take to become right with God, and we logistic our way out of ever doing it to begin with. But he says that his yoke is easy, that his burden is light. Amen? Jesus promises that. He didn't say there wouldn't be a yoke, and he didn't say there wouldn't be a burden, but he did say that it would be easy and that it would be light. And so I walked the months to come, and I was turning in my phone. I was doing these things. And you know what? It was the most freeing thing in the world, all right? Why? Because I knew that the things that I was doing, it was breaking the back of Satan every time I did it. Every demonic stronghold, every principality that set itself against me, my family, my future family, my kids, it was breaking in that very moment. And every generational curse that the enemy tried to bring against me because of that addiction, it was breaking every moment. And I began to celebrate every moment because my identity was in Jesus Christ. See, it's not about who or what in the world that you belong to, your identity in the world, and all of this stuff that the world wants to paint to you as reality. The only thing that truly matters is whose you belong to. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can touch you. And have I had moments of temptation? Yeah. Welcome to the world, baby. Okay? All right? You ever driven around Omaha? Okay? You ever been to a mall? All right? There's plenty of temptation out there that I can look at, all right? But the gates, they're guarded all the time. And it's not because I'm something special, okay? I want you to get this today. It's because it's the simplest truth today. It's because I know whose I belong to. It is all rooted in my identity in Christ Jesus. And the world wants to strip that away. The world wants to tell you that you have to identify with all of this other stuff. And I'm going to tell you again, it's the same old story. It's the same old game being played, all kinds of different tunes in all kinds of different ways. And the enemy continues to win time and time again. But I'm going to encourage you today Let's start breaking the back of the enemy. Let's change the future trajectory of our kids' lives. And if there's any moment in your life right now, you're like, I don't even know, like, how would I do that? How do I do it? Trust me, I've been there, all right? I think it's different, sure. But I'm telling you right now, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And so the way that the Holy Spirit empowers you to do that, it doesn't mean that it's always comfortable, but it does mean that the joy and the peace that you feel as you walk through that, it is unlike anything else. Who you belong to today. And so as we close today, Jessica, you can play that song. I would just ask you, who do you belong to today? And for those of us that call us Christians today, again, it's really simple to say, you know, because I call myself a Christian, there are these other things that maybe we were like, man, how does that still exist? How does that still happen? I will tell you right now that the struggles, the temptation, whatever things you may feel like are overpowering you today, it can all be broken by a deeper revelation of the love of Jesus Christ and whose you belong to today. And so, in just a moment, we're going to formally dismiss and we're going to open up this room as just a place where you can be in the presence of God. So if you want to fellowship, if you want to talk, you got to do it outside of these doors, okay? Everybody got that? And you do whatever you need to do with Jesus today. If you need to come up and you need to get on your knees, you can get on your knees. If you want to stay in your chair and just have some time with him today. I want you to hear this today because as much as I would love to just be able to scoop you up in my arms and take you there, I can't, okay? I would love to do that. But the only way that you really can have a revelation of him is if you enter into that. I cannot force you to do that, nor would I ever try to. But I can tell you this, that if all you do is just simply open up your heart to him today and to ask him, I want, not Brandon's revelation, okay? I want the revelation you have for me. I know he will do it. That's who he is. That's who he is. The love of a father, the true love of a father, never says no to his kids. Especially when they ask for the thing that he wants to give them the most. He wants you to experience his love and his grace like never before. And if you feel like you need support or prayer or anything like that, you know, Pastor Deborah and I will be up front. We'd love to stand with you, pray with you any sort of way. If you need healing in your body, we will pray for you. This is a church that believes and knows that God can heal and does heal if you need that. And for just a moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to say, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never made that decision, I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer in just a moment if you want to do that. And again, it's the words are important, yes, but it's the heart behind it. That when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you're doing is you're making him the number one thing in your life. That's what you're doing. So if there's anybody in the room that wants to make that decision, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me today? Anybody in the room? I see those hands. Proud of you guys. That's awesome. Anybody else today? I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And again, it's the heart behind it that really matters. You're making a decision today to make Jesus the number one thing in your life, plain and simple. So just say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I need you. Today, I make a decision to make you the number one thing in my life. Heavenly Father, I receive your love. Show me your love. I know that right now, I'm making a decision to belong to you. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on a cross that was meant for me. Forgive me of my sins. Help me change. Help me do what you've called me to do. And I thank you that today I'm never the same, that I'm changed. I thank you that when I look in the mirror the next time, I will not recognize myself because of what you're doing right now. I thank you that you're healing my body, that you're healing my soul. My spirit is made anew because of you. Thank you, Father. So for just a moment, head bowed, eye closed for just a moment. As we dismiss in a minute, we're going to turn up the song. We're just going to leave this as a moment for you. Whatever you've got to do, you do what you got to do, okay? And for those of us in the room that have been there, we know what it's like. You can weep if you want. It's okay to laugh, to have joy in your heart. There's no necessarily rules, okay, here. It's just simply get before your King today. And let him show you whose you belong to today. Just go ahead and turn this up. The call is dismissed. We love you. We'll see you at family night tonight. Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.